Good evening. I'd like to call to order the May 25th Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. It's on?
Be happy to give you a roll call. Chair Hale?
Here.
Commissioner Munoz? Record show he's absent. Commissioner Crowley?
Here.
Commissioner Sedaris?
Present.
Commissioner Ayoub? Record show she's not present. And Commissioner Bates?
Okay, we've got some echo going. All right, it's a little bit better. Are any commissioner reports and announcements for this evening?
I don't have any. No.
Public comment period. This is the time when members of the audience that want to address the commission can come up and do so. Seeing that we have no one in the audience, we have lots of chairs. There must have been some other event today. Okay, or maybe yesterday. So we have no one in the public, so we will move on past the public comment period. The citizens report and correspondence, youth services summary, sport and fitness summary, and facility and parks summary for April. And the last is the Recreation and Parks Department status report. Does anyone want to pull for discussion any of those reports tonight?
No.
No? Okay, so with that, if we do not need to pull any items for discussion?
The calendar, let's see.
This is just the A's under A?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, then I would look for a motion to approve A1 through 4.
And accept those for file.
And accept them for file?
Yeah, I move we accept them for file.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Moving on to B, public hearing. We tonight do not have any public hearing scheduled, so we'll move on to B1. The topic is the size of the Recreation and Parks Commission and consideration of designating a Los Osos commissioner. So I'll turn it over to Mr. Woods to give us a summary.
Thank you, Chair Hale. Let staff remind that this is a public hearing. And as it comes back to the commission, you may want to open up for Los Osos. This item was brought to the commission by the request from the city council on their May 10th meeting. They asked staff to present this item for discussion at our the next available meeting, and which is this evening. Staff has included your current commission bylaws for review, and this is something that if we were to amend the size of the commission or appoint a designated member of the commission, we would want to change our bylaws. We do so by a recommendation through staff to city council, and council makes the final decisions. The discussion tonight should include benefits and detriments of the 7-member commission, as well as the pluses and minuses for the Los Osos designated member. Some questions that we put on your report to stimulate this conversation would be, is the community being served adequately by the representation of the Recreation and Parks Commission at its current level at 7 members? And or would 5 be better, or would 9 be better? Having a large participation base from Los Osos residents, designated area, the designated position. If it's from Los Osos, are you anticipating, you know, a monthly report from Los Osos, or is it just a commissioner that could acclimate into this commission and just work as we're working now, or are there special duties assigned to it, such as the senior representative? There are special duties there, and there are also special duties with the chair. So just to keep that in mind as we go through the discussion. In your bylaws, you'll see that there are several little guidelines here at the beginning, purpose and authority. On the bottom of the first page, which is page 2 of your report, the appointment. And right now, the Recreation Parks Commission is comprised of 7 members, 5 of which qualify to vote in the city of Morro Bay. And these appointees are filled by city council. As you all know, that you went through an interview process and then you were appointed by city council. Traditionally, lately, there has not been a lot of competition. And I think that's probably one of the reasons, not solely, but probably one of the reasons why council wanted you to look at this. We've had some vacancies. They've stood vacant for a while. And at their level, I think they get a little bit, okay, why is there still openings? Do we really need seven? Let's kick it down for some discussion. So that's what we had earlier in the appointment area. However, each member of the commission needs to be a registered voter of the city of Morro Bay. You also have to be 18 years of age. But there's not on the age appointment. But if someone was not a member, like this Los Osos member, that would be a special appointee from the council, and that would be the exception to this particular policy. So not everybody has to be a voting member, particularly if it's a designated position outside of the city limits. So I want to get clarified that before you get into your discussion. So that concludes my report. I'll send it back to commission for discussion or questions. Thank you.
Okay, do you have questions for any other questions for Mr. Woods about why this topic was brought up in terms of our needing a discussion on it?
I just wondering, what is our relationship with Los Osos Parks and Recs? Do they have their own department like us?
No, they're not a city. They're in the unincorporated area of the county.
Uh-huh.
And they have various activities that they can participate in. Some of the children participate in our programs. Soccer is a San Luis soccer.
And okay.
MCA. So some activities are, but the programs that we do offer, all of our programs are offered to Los Osos residents as well as Cayucas. But they're most involved in youth basketball, futsal, junior lifeguard program, and a very large participation with our girls softball program.
Okay.
So those are just some of the programs, but we offer our programs to all the public, not
right.
just members, not just citizens of Morro.
Right. Do they have how many parks over there? I know they get that one big field. They've got maybe four parks, five.
You know, I wasn't ready to get into their list of parks and parklands, and we use some of their facilities through a joint agreement with the school district, and so we are in some of their multi-purpose rooms. We're also on some of their ball diamonds that are at their elementary schools and middle school.
But I wonder if where you're headed with that is, the value of having a Los Osos resident. In other words, if they're sort of deficient in parks, they're probably using our parks more in Morro Bay, and therefore their input on, because part of this is obviously we have parks and we have recreation, and clearly they're participating in recreation activities. Mm-hmm. But on the park side, was that where you were headed with that?
No, I just want to get an overview. We're not really helping them with any maintenance or anything other than...
No, other than what we're...
There is a lot of overlap. There's a lot of overlap with the youth sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like their South Bay League is very popular with the youth here in Morro Bay. A lot of soccer, a lot of soccer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also vice versa. There's a lot of Los Osos residents that come to Morro Bay for the T-ball, for some of our soccer program as well.
Good.
I think that'd be interesting.
What percentage of participants, and I assume kids camp in the summer?
Definitely.
What's the is there rough numbers of percentage of participants that come from Los Osos just overall with our programs? Not to put you on the spot, but just to get a...
It's kind of on the spot because I don't have those specific those numbers, and I don't want to mislead you with the 10% when it could be 75%.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very valid question. The representation would bring a viewpoint from Los Osos saying, hey, we really would like to see practices for this program at this time, or really, why don't we join forces here? Or there could be little nuances like that throughout the programming year that we could address. And so there would be some benefit, and that's really the only difference between a resident in Morro Bay and or Los Osos participating. It's about a $4 extra charge.
Does that also apply to Cayucas?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Do we advertise in those two cities? Where do they get information to know what's going on here?
Yeah, generally, the advertisements go through the schools.
The schools,
school flyers. We are right now currently working with the school district in Cayucas for a joint facility use agreement as well, so we can have a little bit of priority and help them out with some recreation that's up there. So it's a smaller type of a venue than we do have with the San Luis Coastal School District, but it's something that's worthwhile and staff is pursuing.
Great.
So
great.
We do definitely reach out to the Estero Bay community.
Great. That's good.
Other questions for, I mean, is there a sense that
resources does your staff, you know, work? I mean, other than the advertising, is there any visits to the sites, the towns? Is there someone that you guys communicate? I mean, is there any liaisons? Or I'm just kind of wondering how that would all work.
Well, we do reach out. I think it's the middle school. It might even be an elementary school. And there is a nature or awareness type of a program. Pardon me for not knowing the exact name of it. But Herb goes there, and he presents the junior lifeguard program, the pluses and minuses, the ocean safety. And he really, it's an educational program. It's also an awareness of our offerings in the junior lifeguard program, Session 102. So we're...
Just hold your finger there the whole time, and it'll be good.
That was a needle in a haystack, thinking that was going to cure it. So we do branch out. It's program specific. It isn't something that we routinely go and give presentations to those outside communities. But when given the opportunity, we do take advantage of that, because we're always trying to increase our participation. And the awareness and advertisement is definitely key.
So should we just have a little round table and talk about this and what our thoughts are? I think you've shared yours in terms of thinking it's a good idea. What do you guys think in terms of opening it up to have a Los Osos? I mean, there's kind of two ways we could do it. One is to say, do we want to allow a Los Osos resident to go through the process of interviewing for, the, you know, to be able to sit on the board if they were picked? Another is to say we want to target an Los Osos resident, and would we want to, again, ensure that there was one, or if we felt it was a good idea, only if, I mean, based on whatever, whoever the best candidate is through the city council interview process.
Well, I'm just trying to think of, in terms of pros and cons, what would the cons be to have a representative from there? I don't know. Are there any cons to that?
I mean, the only con that I can think of is that, and I don't know that it's a con, but it's just a consideration, is Los Osos, I mean, ultimately our commission is intended to be representing residents of Morro Bay, with the idea that our residents attend our parks and are interested in things like master planning down at the Rock, because, you know, our residents live here and do stuff here all the time. So the representation that sounds like was initially brought was with respect to the programs that many Los Osos residents participate in, which is, again, the sports programs and the summer camp programs. But they're not necessarily, you know, the trade-off would be you have a Morro Bay representative talking about what they want to put forth around parks and decisions around park and lieu funds and decisions around a Morro Bay, an off-leash park, for example. I mean, when those kinds of discussions come up, if you have someone from Los Osos here, the question is just...
And I mean, maybe there's no interest on their part, too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that could be, right? There is no interest.
Well, could be.
I mean, if the majority of the time we're speaking about Morro Bay things, they might be spending a lot of time here for non-issues for Los Osos. But I don't know. I'm always into tying things together and bringing people together. So to me, it's worth looking at. And
it feels
it
like...
Out.
I'm sorry.
I'm done. Just saying trying it out would be good.
I think it seems very reasonable, but until Parks and Rec have a strong staff that is actually, you know, working in conjunction with Los Osos at more of a level than they are now, that it wouldn't really make that much sense to, I mean, maybe a periodic, you know, Los Osos commissioner visit. I think it would be a waste of someone's time to be here every month.
Commissioner at large?
A commissioner at large, yeah. Because it's, you know, like you said, it's only the, basically a recreation element.
Right.
And that's not a major, I mean, it is.
An interest in what happens with the Morro Bay, you know, with the Rock and the master plan, and some of our parks and our off-leash dog park, because they're probably some of the services around associated with our parks that they probably do participate in today. So it's not to suggest that they wouldn't have an interest in that, but I think it's just a matter of, again, would it be the right trade-off to give up a Morro Bay representative on our commission to have a Los Osos representative, or would we potentially want to look at saying, let's open it up and say, you know, allow for Los Osos residents. I mean, for that matter, why not Cayugas to have a representative potentially say, I'd like to sit on the Morro Bay Commission and let the City Council make the best decision based on who they feel is the most qualified. I mean, that's another approach versus designating one for out of city.
May I make a comment, Chair?
Sure.
Thank you. A couple of things that come to mind. The Morro Bay Community Foundation is seeking a Los Osos representative to sit on their board. So they are seeing the need, the number of children who are getting scholarships, though it isn't a huge amount, there is several that come from Los Osos. So we're feeling the representation from Los Osos on the foundation will assist in, number one, meeting the needs over there. The nation's seeking it out. So there's kind of a few things that are attached to having someone on the foundation from Los Osos, or even from Cayucas for that matter. But it seems like a lot more of our participants are coming from Los Osos than Cayucas. Though we do get a lot of kids that are participating in some programs, and there's not a whole bunch up there because it's a smaller community, and maybe that's why. But we do get quite a few playing basketball from Los Osos, from Cayucas, pardon me.
And I think it makes sense for the Community Foundation because it is strictly a program to provide scholarships associated with with recreation, not the park side. So I think we definitely have some different things to think about for us.
I would just bring back to your attention that we're also talking about the size of the commission. And if we want to stick with 7, there's no real recommendation that we're having, just the discussion. Well, I don't want to lose sight of that element of this report as well. Thank you.
Well, I guess that raises a question. Should we try to finish off our thinking around having Los Osos representation and then talk about the size of the commission, or do you feel like we should talk about the size of the commission to help give consideration for Los Osos representation?
Did there, you know what I'm saying?
There may be a couple of options. They may just go back and meet with just a citizens group, or they could go formal and direct a report to the Recreation County Parks and Recreation. So county parks and recreation are out there right now through general services. That's what you deal with when they're soliciting programs and they're making park reservations, like at the Red Barn. That's all through the county.
It's all parks.
The county,
they don't have a recreation.
And not Recreation Parks Commission.
It's just parks.
Thank you.
Is there another venue? I mean, I think one of the values we would have out of that, as we talked about before, is potentially more visibility in Los Osos to the programs to increase participation. I mean, what venues would we, because, I mean, maybe we would have another requirement if we had a Los Osos member that said you're also responsible to do X, report back on a monthly basis to whatever, if there's an appropriate entity. I don't know what that is, but is there one that would be appropriate within the community?
It would be county parks, but I don't know as far as if there's other venues out there that would be more appropriate or more streamlined to get with.
Maybe we need to look to San Luis County for, you know, some type of liaison for these Estero, because they have property parks and all, you know, Cayucas, Los Osos, although they don't really get into too much recreation. I mean, they'll rent spaces and reservations and stuff like that, but
and the YMCA takes care of some of their needs, and they've got a joint agreement with the city, but they branch out and pick up things here, and then YMCA also picks up things up in Paso Robles. So they're pretty much all over the county. But in this area, we do have priority through the school district to get those facilities for our programs. And so those agreements that we've had with the school district have helped us out in preserving space and priority for the programs that we're offering, such as basketball and futsal, where you need that gym time. So whether they would report back to the county parks or just giving us ideas of how we can branch out into Los Osos. Hey, you really need to go to this club's meeting, or the PTA seems to be the best. I think that's what the liaison or this Los Osos member could bring to the commission as a plus.
Programs, here's recommendations on how to accomplish that by reaching more people in Los Osos. I mean, I'm just asking that kind of general question. Is the commission the right place to develop that liaison role, or is a direct relationship with staff? Or have you guys done that in the past or thought about that?
No, we do have direct relationships. It's difficult. They're time-consuming. And relationships, they need that energy. It's a two-way street. And sometimes, you know, when our programs aren't there, our attention and our energies are somewhere else. And so having a consistent liaison to Los Osos is probably what this position would have, whereas we would have, we obviously have a presence over there. We have a lot of relationships with the schools and the folks that are running, principals that are running the schools. So we get our information out to them. Our flyers are well accepted. We know the procedures. And so it isn't the fact that we're lacking dissemination of information over in Los Osos. It's just the fact that, is it official? And there's no real, there's not a department that we can go say, hey, this is what we have, and that kind of sharing. So I think maybe that's part of the disconnect that we're feeling in this conversation. We can best meet the needs of the community in Los Osos, that southern part of Estero Bay, that we can enhance their experience in our programs. So there might be just a few things. It might be a couple things that we pick up right off the bat that make a huge difference. Like, I don't have a crystal ball, but I would say that there, I mean, that part of it's a large population in Los Osos, and it's something that it's worth looking at. And whether it's a formal designation or just someone that we seek to get, and five members of the seven need to be voters in Morro Bay. The other two do not, and those positions traditionally have been Morro Bay residents, but they don't necessarily have to be. So as Chair Hale was saying earlier, there are two sides of this. It could be a designated position or just an at-large position that we would somehow try to seek and advertise and bring someone in when we have a vacancy.
Thoughts?
Does it have to be 5, 7, and 9? Is that the...
No, I just threw those out for the conversation. And as we're talking about, if I don't mind, another idea would be that to identify that becomes difficult. Say, wait a minute, that's a whole other community, and there's all these ties of relationships there. So that's another plus in this position that comes in. And hopefully the person has some connections. They've been at a leadership role within the community one way or another. And they can bring in some insight and some direction.
Just to clarify, too, so today, if a Los Osos resident wanted to go and apply to be on this commission, they could do that or not based on the current bylaws?
They could do that based on the current bylaws, as I understand them, because
only five out of seven.
However, the qualifications, you still need to be a resident and registered voter in this city unless council's approved a special requirement. So through their interview process, they would have to identify this applicant or candidate as a Los Osos resident and then make an exception before their appointment. So it's certainly within their purview, certainly within the current guidelines that you have.
Okay, we'll see if we can kind of come up with a consensus but a sense of some thoughts on a recommendation that we can vote. Commissioner Crowley?
I think it's a good idea. And, you know, as it stands, we rarely have a full commission monthly, so I think it could only add to the experience here rather than detract.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a needed thing, but I don't think that it's really been thought out how it could work. It's going to be an exceptional case you know, it's going to have city council make an exception, which is fine, but I think it's going to be, we really have to be aggressive in recruiting something out there and getting that word out that, you know, hey, Los Osos, Morro Bay wants a representative of Los Osos, and hopefully we get a good one.
Any opinions? Commissioner, anything else coming in?
Okay, so then what we're thinking about here is, I think there's, is this the one where there's two things?
Yeah, we're just talking right now. We're trying to kind of close up on our position around whether we would want to designate a little more active marketing, whether it's through this avenue or, you know, just getting the word out, talk word on the street around, hey, look, we're actively looking for representation. And if there's a candidate that's interested and says, hey, I've got some great ideas, I think I'd like, you know, I'd love to represent Los Osos and Morro Bay, particularly around recreation, then we're open to it or not. I mean, it sounds like the thinking right now is we're open to having a Los Osos, you know, Los Osos representative. If a qualified person decides to apply, that's sort of the, if I'm not mistaken, what I've heard thus far. Do you have any?
Okay, if it's just on that one subject, then I would kind of want to look at maybe if there's someone in Los Osos that's interested, if they're watching, if a lot of the residents over there watches, for them to come and, let's say, gather information, either give it to staff or come to our meetings and present it to us, and then, I don't know, maybe watch it for 6 months or a year, and if we feel that enough input is coming from over there that we would warrant a Los Osos residence to be in our committee, then I think we could look at it, because right now they could tell staff, but if they want anything, if there's a program that they want, you know, I'd like to look at that first, and then if we're starting to get more input where we feel we need one, then I think we should look at it at that time, because I'm not sure why it came up that we want to add this. Was there somebody from Los Osos that actually came before the city council and suggested that? I could have missed that.
Not to my knowledge, there wasn't a solicitation from any member from Los Osos. I believe it was a council's initiative to ask us to review this at commission. And the fact that, and we do have one vacancy here, as we said. And so as we had two previously, and filling these vacancies seems to come up more frequent to council. And as they come up, whether they're frequent or not, and because from all the years, it isn't that frequent. But if it does come up and they're going, wow, there's so many vacancies, why is there, we're always filling for RPC. What's going on? Is there too many people? And then the conversation is there maybe someone from Los Osos could help them out? Why don't we ask them to discuss it? And that's what we come up with this evening's discussion.
Well, I mean, I think if they want to open it up to somebody in Los Osos so that they could be, want to be more. It's unfortunate that we do have commissioners that drop out for whatever personal reasons, and that's why we have it at seven people to help fill the quorum. I mean, it seems to me okay right now.
I mean, it sounds like we could, I mean, they already can apply to be on the Rec and Parks Commission if you're out of town. People probably don't know that. There's an exception process if they get approved. So, I mean, they can do it right now as it is. So I don't know that we're really making a decision other than if we want to decide to actively pursue someone. I mean, if a Los Osos resident says, I want to apply for a vacancy, they can show up at the city, go through the interview process. And if the city felt like that was the strongest candidate for the commission, then they would select that candidate and make the exception. I mean, that's what I'm hearing, that that's already in place, that the difference is we're not actively promoting it. And, you know, the sense of whether we'd see value, to me, in part, depends on what their ideas are. I mean, if someone comes and has a lot of great ideas to be a representative on the Morro Bay Rec and Parks Commission, I mean, let's bring great minds to the table and help, you know, shape Rec and Parks ongoing. I'm not adverse to that at all.
Because I know when we advertise it, you know, it's just here locally. But when we do start advertising it, if that's how we want
to have residency in Morro Bay. So right now you have basically one opening that could be a member of the Estero Bay community. But at least five of you have to be a resident of Morro Bay. And it's something that we have an active, we don't go out looking for special requirements for the council to get someone that's not a resident. So how it's written really is it steers us to residents of Morro Bay. It steers us to voters of this community that are over the age of 18. And basically that's how we fill the commission. But there are, like I said, special circumstances that would allow council to approve someone who's not a resident, at least at the most two.
So do we have to make any decisions on this? I mean, it sounds like the process is already in place, and I guess if we said no, we absolutely don't want anybody to be considered from an outside community, you know, we could change the bylaws to say no. It sounds like we're not hearing that tonight, that people are open to it if the right person came along and was really motivated and to contribute, and city council decided that was the best candidate for the role. Does that summarize?
A good, from this point, it does sound like a good summary of what our discussion's been. Staff would be looking for a motion for something I'll bring forward. It sounds like there's no amendments being discussed, so a motion in that regards would help me bring this back to council to relay our conversation.
Well, let's talk about size. Does anyone have any strong feeling about not having a group of seven here, recognizing that we often have, you know, one or two members not able to attend? Do we feel like there should be any adjustments?
No, I think seven's good because I think twice in all the time I've been on the board, I think twice maybe we've cut it down to five, and it just makes it worse to fill a quorum. So at least with seven, it kind of gives us a little leeway.
I knew we had brought it down to five a couple of times. I wasn't too sure, and it's been a couple of times, and it just was very difficult to get the quorum together.
Maybe we should just add one more slot that has to be a non-Morro Bay resident, either Cayucas, Los Osos, and then wait for it to be filled. I mean, if that's the direction that, you know, obviously they want, you know, representation, can we add another?
Well, I think we have to decide whether.
Because you could leave it at seven, and right now you have a vacant, so right now would be a good opportunity to say we could designate one if there is someone interested from the other communities.
One opening, then maybe the direction is to asking staff to promote more in the Estero Bay community as opposed to just our town, and then in hopes of getting someone who is a non-resident in, and then seeing that non-resident would be special to the commission, then they would have that special requirement from the council that would allow them to sit.
So it sounds like we have sort of two paths here from what I'm hearing. One is we say we'll designate a position on the commission that is a non-Morro Bay resident, and that if it doesn't get filled, maybe we come back and revisit that, but it's filled with a non-Morro Bay resident, or we say let the best representative who interviews with the city and gets appointed get the position, but encourage other communities to participate because they have an interest, because there's a lot of participation in recreation by other communities. So kind of like let's let the best person be appointed, and if they're from another community, great, or designate a position where if we feel strongly enough that one of the representatives should be from outside of our community, then we would do more of a designation and allocate a position to outside of Morro Bay. So, I mean, does that summarize what the decision we would, I mean, because that's going to be our help.
We can.
Who wants to start?
I would say we can specifically designate it for another community, but we should also put like a part B to that. Because if the first time it doesn't get filled, do we want to keep putting feelers out there? And if someone in Morro Bay does apply, then go to Part B of the amendment and say, yeah, we're going to fill it right then and there because you're here. We should do that.
Or another way to look at that, too, is to say if you don't designate it but you promote it, if you get a lot of Los Osos residents, great. And then you right. fill it versus necessarily sort of saying, oh, we're going to allocate somebody, and but then maybe nobody shows up, and then what do we do? That's a little more of another way to do this.
So we're seeing just some strong encouragement for neighboring communities to come and join our board, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Does anyone disagree with that, or does anyone want to take the next step and have a designated position, or do we want to just go with that recommendation of we want to encourage it, but we're not going to specifically designate a slot for a non-Morabe resident?
Yeah, that's how it goes. We don't seem to get a whole lot of public from Cayucos or Los Osos over here for the meeting, so, you know, well, you're out there and you're interested, come see us.
It would be to, first of all, leave it at 7 members on the commission, and also to designate, encourage applicants from the Estero Bay community, or do we want to say Los Osos Bay? Just the Estero Bay community and Cayucos community to apply for a position, a vacant position on the Recreation and Parks Commission. And we want to clarify that if we do not get any applicants, and we do have applicants from Morabe, the spot will be filled by.
I don't think we have to.
Somehow.
I don't think we have to do that, because we're not suggesting that one of the positions needs to be designated. We're just saying,
okay,
more, but you know, Los Osos or Cayucos represent, come on out. But it's still going to be the candidate gets picked, and no matter what location they're from. Is that?
Yeah.
So it's really only the marketing that's going to change, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the recommendation would be to actively, or at least promote, that we're looking through venues like this, and maybe there's some other that the city can think about in terms of trying to, they've got a lot of contacts, so maybe they can.
Aye.
Opposed? None.
And before we leave this item, may I just make sure I understand the motion that was just passed, that no amendments to the bylaws are recommended to council, and that based on the openings of the Recreation and Parks Commission, staff is encouraged to advertise and promote the vacancies throughout the Estero Bay, which includes Cayucos and Los Osos. That's
correct.
The Estero Bay.
Yes.
So I do have that right. Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on to C, unfinished business. We have none, so we'll move on to D, new business. D1 is status of park in lieu fund and projects currently appropriated.
Thank you, and good evening again, Chair Hale, Commission. This item is brought to you from future agenda items from our previous meeting. Park in lieu fund was established through the city's parkland dedication ordinance found in your municipal code, which we attach 16.52.050, which is subdivisions. And the subdivision review, if someone was to subdivide a lot and they wanted to develop it, they would go about this through the planning department. The Cloisters is an example of a parkland dedication, as well as Morro Cove up on Olive Street, just two for examples. North Point as well, the North Point Natural Area. As parking lieu fee, if someone was not going to dedicate parkland, they would be obligated to pay a parking lieu fee. And I sit, the Recreation Parks Committee Director sits on the subdivision review board. As that determination comes to light, I will take the number of, there's a special formula that we calculate this particular fee at. And as fees accumulate, staff comes to you and has projects, and we ask for funding. You either recommend or you don't recommend. And it's been usually a strong recommendation that we continue and go up to City Council, and then they'll approve the funds. Currently, you have two projects that have been funded through park in lieu funds. The first is a $15,000 project to enhance public showers at Highlands Park, as well as the North T Pier, as well as doing some enhancement to the Giant Chessboard, which is working on the shed, as well as putting in an interpretive house, the chess pieces. And we're working with the Lions Club, and hopefully we can get them to continue working on this project. They've done some design work right now in the shed, and we're working on some details to get that project up and running. The second project is the enhancement of Mariner Park and Centennial Parkway. This was approved in July by Council, and this is a $50,000 project, a little larger. The things that we've accomplished since this project started, we've installed two new gangways at Mariner and one at Centennial, because both have a little pier that goes out and a little side tie dock on the base of the pier. We've also eliminated the traditional trash cans at these sites and put in solar-powered compact trash cans with a recycling unit on the side. This has done two things. It's eliminated a lot of staff time dumping trash. It saved us a little bit because the old cans were lift out from the top, and these are slide out from the side, which is certainly a workman's comp issue that we're trying to resolve. We haven't had any problems so far, thank goodness. We've also done some site furniture replacement at Mariner Park. If you've gone by there, you probably have noticed. If you haven't, you need to. Terrific landscaping, drought tolerant, colorful natives, some small concrete picnic tables. One is definitely handicap accessible. It just has opened up the park with the new landscaping, and it's been well received. Actually, in all the years that I've been here, I've never known it to be reserved, and just recently we reserved Mariner Park for a wedding reception, which is just crazy. Exciting for staff, because we just thought, hey, wow, it really does work when we go out there and enhance these parks. Right now we're working at Centennial Parkway. If you went by yesterday or today, you'd notice there's a lot of activities going on. We're hoping to wrap that our landscaping enhancement up tomorrow morning. Right now, we've taken out turf on the west side and a big hedge as well next to the trash enclosure. Really trying to open up the park, give good visibility throughout the parkway into the waterway. We're looking to do reduce our maintenance, and we feel that turf elimination is definitely in the right direction. The east side around the chessboard. We are not eliminating all the turf. We feel that some turf is very valuable. The turf next to the restroom is an area where Whitecaps Band and other bands pick up and play on the weekends, so it's a good spot to keep. There's also a grassy knoll by the chessboard as well. We want to hang on to that. But the little patches have gone. We've added rocks and drought-resistant plants. So those are the two projects you have going on. There's not much money left in these two projects, about $6,000 left in the first project, and we've run through the second project down to zero. There are more subdivisions coming through the city. There is more money in this particular account. This is not an accurate account of everything that's been obligated, but it's certainly a cash balance as of May 20th, which is $124,922. We have several programs and projects that we'd like to put on the list, or the queue, if you will. And I've listed those in your conclusion because we feel these are important projects to pursue. One is the initial study for the CEQA for the amount of $20,000 is our current proposal. And staff is looking to bring that to you in the near future, hopefully your next meeting. And also we want to continue our enhancement along the waterfront in the Embarcadero. And we're looking at Anchor Memorial Park being our next little park along the Embarcadero, and then as well as the little more upland, the Morrill Cove Parkland. And that's, remember, we have a senior project that was given to us. Kat Lewis, she put together a really good program, a design for that park, which follows the initial design of that park. So we'll be bringing that to you as well as the master planning for Coleman Park. Some ideas. Now, if a commissioner has another idea, hey, we really want to see the enhancements at this park or something like something over here, then a future agenda item is where you want to bring that and ask us to bring back some details on how we could fund it, how it could happen, and then open it up for discussion. This concludes my report on an update on the two projects that are now being funded by the Park in lieu. I'll be ready for any questions if you have them.
Any questions?
No, I think What are we going to do? That whole area is just crying for an improvement.
Yes, it is.
It's all full of rocks, and it's just, and it's such a nice spot to look at the town from on a, you know, full moon or whatever.
Staff is very glad that you've recognized that. Part of our master plan for Coleman includes the Target Rock area.
The Target Rock area. Okay, yes. Great.
And through some preliminary discussions that you weren't privy to, we went through concepts A, B, and C as far as the development of that area. It included all of the Embarcadero, well, not all of the Embarcadero and Coleman Drive enhancement or improvement projects. The boating is one side of it, haul out, storage, and repair. The other side of it is Coleman Park and Target Rock area. And we've got some, I had six different designs from a landscape architectural class. We have just a lot of information ready to go as when we get into the public workshops and the detailed master planning of those two areas.
Okay.
So it's certainly something that you'll be able to get involved in the near future.
Okay. Because it looks like that little area is mostly used by the scuba divers and some fishermen and stuff, but it's just so bumpy and poorly kept because it, you know, it's just sort of raw land. If it was fixed up, it'd be nice.
There's a lot of little...
Take a look at Mariner Park. It looks very fantastic down there.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
And also your guys' project at the chessboard. I saw some prep work there, and I agree, getting rid of, you know, little strips of turf and especially very old shrubbery that takes a lot of maintenance and that never looks good is definitely a good thing. So as far as bringing things forward, I think it would be a good idea to, you know, kind of slam dunk your guys' Embarcadero campaign and you know, because a lot of this stuff is all master planning. It seems like you guys could kind of carry on with the Anchor Memorial Park. I mean, obviously we're going to have to, you guys are going to have an agenda of where, you know, which projects are first up in the queue. It seems like that would be the most reasonable, just to kind of wipe that whole Embarcadero landscaping off your list and move on to big things.
And that's kind of the direction that we were going to want to head into. You see Morro Cove parkland on here, and Morro Cove is an upland type of a park, which is a buffer on Olive Street. But we have some spillover down by the staircase that comes, and like plants, just to have that kind of connection between this upland type of a natural area. It's not really a park, it's a natural area. It's also an endangered, it's a monarch butterfly habitat, protected right. Habitat. Thank you. So we're working, so we'd like to see some kind of a connection between the two. So maybe that's the last part of our campaign to get the Embarcadero done, but we certainly are going in that direction. And hopefully you'll see two requests. The first one, I think the initial study really needs to get done from the Teen Center so we can apply for the next round. The next round of funding will not be won't be any earlier than March 2011, but staff would like to be ready by then. And the initial studies, it's going to take about 6 to 10 weeks. That's why we want to jump on that. But I appreciate your answer. The four you have there are in some priority. That's the next that we're looking to put on the queue. Is there something that you'd like to see in here? Let me know, and we'll add it. We can either add it now, or you can certainly wait for a future agenda item and put it at the end of your meeting.
Just a question on that is
for park and park facility enhancements.
Okay, so I'm just looking at the guidelines of this, the chapter 16.52, what the requirements are. So is this the stuff, like we have streets and alleys, bus stops, public utilities, street, you know, park and rec facilities? Is this a set of things we can use the funds for, or am I confused? It's a 16.
No. You're looking at the subdivider.
Pardon me?
You're looking at number two as far as on 050?
Yeah, 16.52.010.
D2. Is that what you're looking at? Capital D, number two, subdivider shall without credit provide That isn't us.
I think she's looking at D1s.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the very first page. The very first page after your summary. The very bottom says 384.29. This is agenda item D-1, right after your staff report.
Okay.
You've attached
the dedications.
The dedications of.
Okay, in which pages? More importantly, down to the F, where the fees in lieu of the land dedication. And right now, this is not going to give you details on how that is. That is a Quimby Act regulation.
Let me ask a broad question then, and maybe this you'll answer it. So I guess it just kind of, the topic is bike paths and, you know, bike ease of community members being able to, you know, get around Morro Bay on bikes. There's obviously a big push toward having us be a eco-friendly community and lots of energy around that. I know the Planning Commission, there was a discussion at the Planning Commission around upping on the priority list a potential project down at in the beach track to potentially consider, I think it's a class 2 bike path. That's where you have a bike lane that's sitting. It's not a separated bike, but it's a two-way bike path in essence. So I guess I'm just bringing up the question is there any bike path type programs that fall under the purview of Rec and Parks that we would ever want to consider using park in lieu funds for? I mean, I know we all feel like there's a, well, I shouldn't say we all. I know that there's some sentiment that we'd love to see bike path expand to Cayucas, et cetera. So does that, I mean, is that ever anything we would use funds for from the Rec and Parks?
Simply put,
Rec and Parks?
No, I don't think we would.
Okay.
We wouldn't get into the to Rise and Way. We would strictly make focus in on parks and parkland and enhancements of parkland and parkland improvements.
Okay.
So when we go into some people question, it shouldn't be used for master planning, but when you read through the Quimby Act, you can. It's still certainly an eligible project to do, and we have done that in the past. And we put together, you know, that's how we got funding for the initial concept plans out of Coleman, was park in lieu funds. So they are strictly dedicated to parkland and parkland enhancements. Either you get the parkland dedication or you get the money to go and enhance existing parklands, but not outside of that, not in public rights of way, and not on bike paths if they're outside of the park.
Okay.
So this 124, is that what we have right now, or was that before the projects? Sorry.
The current 124 is the cash available.
Oh, because we have a normal minimum, right, because we have to have reserve for emergencies or something comes up and we don't deplete too much.
No, there's no obligation to that.
No obligation,
the obligation
okay.
we have is to spend the money.
Okay.
And we get park and lieu fees from a developer on a subdivision.
Right.
We have 5 years to spend half of that money.
Okay.
So we're obligated to keep it moving.
Okay.
That's what we try to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's doing good because we normally take repairs and all that first, and then we go to these improvement projects, which I think is good, especially the ones down where we get a lot of people. And then we move on to some of these others that aren't so... always accessed by people, and I do agree that I think if we're going to put one up on top, I'd like to see that teen center master plan kind of start coming around.
Like it's a stepping stone to where we need to be.
It's moving kind of slow for the kids out there.
We're trying.
Which reminds me, that fallen fence out there is. Do we have to pick that up at some time?
That was brought to my attention earlier today.
It's been down for a while.
We're gonna bump that up on the queue, if you will. Thank you.
Any other comments to provide direction to staff on this topic in general?
No, I think it's good.
D2, which is calendar of events and programs for summer.
At your regular meeting on April the 27th, Commission asked staff to bring back a report on programs and events happening this summer. So staff has done that. We've prepared a list of things that are happening from March 23rd through October the 16th. The list represents events sponsored by the city and by other organizations that have applied for public area use permits. Information on all city events and programs can be captured through our city website, morrill-bay.ca.us. Go to city departments and find the Recreation and Parks Department and spend some quality time looking at all the programs and the details that are accompanying them. The attached list for the commission is not a comprehensive list of all the activities and all the events that are offered within the city of Morrill Bay this summer, but they do identify the programs and services offered and permitted through our department. So it's kind of a disclaimer that we have, because the time and resources that we'd have to allocate to get a comprehensive list of everything that would be happening. We're not sponsoring the Art in the Park, but it's happening this weekend. That's a three-day event. We do have a softball tournament. One of the softball tournament season is starting. This is the first one. ASA is putting on a senior men's softball tournament this weekend. It isn't a huge tournament, but other tournaments that are larger, the teen advisory committee will be doing some snack barring, and this is going to be their first weekend, but we've had to postpone that. We're going to have the music festival is the 5th of June, and that is put on by the Harbor Festival Incorporated, but the music festival is a permitted program, as well as the Morrill Bay Olympic Distance Triathlon, which is happening June the 6th.
Is that the first annual?
This is their first triathlon sponsored here. Years ago, our department put on a sprint triathlon and then a full-on size triathlon. But we since have scaled back, and it's nice to see this activity coming back to the community, and hopefully we'll have more. Staff is working with the Central Coast Triathlon Club, and we're hoping to do a few things and hopefully get some events that are sponsored by them and from the foundation to raise a little bit of money.
If you don't want to swim and you're in the tri, you can actually take a canoe. Is it canoe or a kayak or something?
It's the first I've heard of having a set of, if you're not very proficient at swimming or a little bit leery about going into the bay or in open water, you can kayak. And it's a staggered start. It's a water start, and the last wave will be the kayakers. And so you can have a kayak person get doing that leg of the race, and then it goes into a bike race. The bike race, we've had some complications with the route. We put a lot of staff time in working with the applicant as well as Caltrans and getting them out of town. And right now, Caltrans not allowing this race bike leg to go out the Main Street or the Boulevard or South. Well, actually, they were giving us South Bay, but we feel that if we shoot them through Quintana all the way down to San Bernardo Creek, and we'll gain access to Highway 1 there. The most dangerous intersection we could think of on this leg is South Bay and Quintana.
Yeah.
And so we're leery about that. The police chief, Olivas, has put in a lot of time, his staff, a lot of effort in trying to help the applicant with a safe route and mitigate any kind of problems that we can foresee. We feel we're somewhat comfortable with what's presented now. And then we come back, and then the run is an adventure race, which is a 24-hour race, which is incredible. They'll be kayaking from Montana de Oro into Coleman Beach, and that's the only leg that we're going to see. Participants from the adventure race will exit Coleman Beach down the Embarcadero Dirt Extended on their bicycles, cross the creek, and go out 41 up to Sierra Alto, and then into the hills and into San Luis. And then from San Luis, they navigate the several courses there and then out to Lopez Lake, I believe. So it's going to be quite a race. So the applicant doing these two races has a lot of, Ishai Horowitz has a lot of experience in race directing, and we're hoping that it pans out and all the collaboration's been worth it. Our girls softball slam is going to be June the 18th. Huge tournament for us. All the girls all-stars. We already have our max, I think it's 22 teams that this tournament's filled up, and we'll be doing two snack bars, one at Kaiser and one over in the high school, because we've got all those fields being utilized for this tournament. The hoops camp for girls is on the 28th of June. This is, I think this camp's been going on. And so, and then we, I think we, the pool program is full, but we do have openings for sessions 1 and 2 of the junior lifeguard program. Ardna Park continues. The 4th of July has some new things happening this year. On the 4th of July, they're going to start with a bike parade, noon at the Rock. And the bike parade will have a police escort going through the Embarcadero down to Tidelands, and they will kick off the festivities at Tidelands Park. There's so much going on. Kids camp staff will be out there doing children's games like we did last year. A lot of fun. And they have and some of the activities. I know they just recently added pony rides to the list of activities, but there's quite a bit of quite a few things to be happening. And yes, there is traditional fireworks happening this year. This is a pretty strong committee. Steve Eccles was here, and he was here last night, at the council and presented his 3 minutes of a plug for the 4th. And it just seems that they have a tremendous grassroots effort from the community, a big outreach from citizens and at large, as well as business owners. They've acquired enough money, their minimum, by the 17th. And you can see we have various softball tournaments all throughout. We've got, it's a softball tournament, that's what it's called. There's a youth baseball tournament as well. I don't want to underestimate our kids' camp staff. The kids' camp staff, you'll be excited to know, and I gave you the brochure, the whole theme of this summer is going to be the California Outdoor Bill of Rights. And all the activities surround the Bill of Rights, and I won't go through them all, but you know, because you passed the resolution here to accept those California Bill of Rights, and it goes from discovering California's history to camping and fishing and hiking and just a tremendous amount of activities, a lot of field trips. These are all detailed on our website. I encourage any parent who has a child who's interested, or a grandparent who has visiting grandkids that they want some activities this summer. You don't have to participate in everything all the time. You can pick one full day a week, or 2, 3, 4, or 5, whichever suits your calendar.
They also added a camp out at the Morro Bay State Park for the first time.
First time ever. Yeah. We've been collaborating with the state ranger, Robichon, I think it's a ranger, interpretive ranger. He'll be there, and he'll have an educational session throughout, and they'll have a campfire and all the campfire activities. So it's going to be really exciting. And you don't have to participate in everything. You can just go for the day use, or you can do the overnight.
And, Mr. Woods, is this posted on the web if people just want to download and see what's this summer?
This full event, this calendar, will be through our packet, through our minutes.
Okay, so it's not going to be on the Rec and Parks page on the website?
We can
website.
Put it on there. We can certainly, we hadn't thought about putting this particular schedule on there, but we could. Sure. I don't see why not. So maybe I'll ask my staff to a few strokes of the keys, and we can get it right in there. It shouldn't be any problem at all. So I don't want to continue. I want to continue just a couple more that were really important to me. It's a new one this year, August the 16th. Middle School Cross Country Academy, which is Chuck Ogle's putting this on as an employee, and he's going to be running this running academy in the hopes of preparing these individuals, these participants, when they go to school, and cross country season's right there. Our three big tournaments are the Summertime Slam that's coming up, Labor Day Tournament, which is obviously in the first of September. First weekend, and the October Fest tournament. Those are the three tournaments that we put on. All the other softball tournaments are outside companies coming in and putting those on, ASA, USSA, and so forth. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. We hope we've talked about things that you want to talk about. If you have questions, I'm open and ready to answer them now.
Well, we have forgot to mention the 41st annual Brian Waterbury Rock to Pier Run. The 6 mile run, which is Saturday, July 17th at 8:30 in the morning. Please leave the dogs at home because the snowy plovers are out and about. But that should always be fun. 41st annual.
Yeah, it is big. We've We've hosted between 9 and 1,000 runners each year. We're hoping that we'll target the same. We're going to continue with the breakfast that we offered last year and continue the band with a little bit of changes to make it a little more happening for everybody.
Should be fun. Should be a great day.
Any other comments? Okay, let's move on to D3 Rec and Park program evaluations.
Thinking went up through the Recreation and Parks Department, and then staff and a few representatives of local soccer folks helped us balance the teams. It's a kind of a non-competitive league, and it's very active. 2 weeks into the season, our coordinator did resign, and our supervisor had to take over. So we have a slight increase in staff cost, particular program, but it will discontinue for the next round, 2011. Eight weeks of games on Monday nights. We had one rainout, two injuries, ankles were sprained. You look down at your direct cost, you have $3,576. If you took out the cost allocation, which is right above that, you'd come down to $2,648 in direct costs. We do charge each team out there a fee of for the lights, and that goes into a light fund to replace and repair lights as they needed. The total revenues were through registration, $3,339. Cost recovery with just the direct into the revenues, we were at 120% cost recovery. Adding the indirect, pleased with the results. We're always looking to, I said, the cost recovery should go up more as the staff time reduces. And we're also moving into an era of online registration. We're in hopes that more and more of our programs are available to community to register online, and hence reducing our cost allocation for support services. We have a few recommendations there that you're aware of, but that concludes my report. I'm available to answer any questions at this time.
Anyone have questions?
No.
Okay, so we need to approve the program evaluations for file.
I move that we approve them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay, moving on to D4, scheduling of the annual parks tour.
Thank you. The annual parks tour is something that we discuss at the commission before we put it in place. We have been doing this tour since 2002. Basically, the commission has asked for this tour to get out and look at the parks, see what they're about. If you have never been to Bay Shore Bluffs or Monty Young Park, it would be an opportunity for you to do that. The RPC is also this evening. Previous route is on the back page of this report. We ask that you look at that for reference. There's locations of the parks and where you might want to start and where you want to finish. Last year, we excluded some parks. I think the year before we did some park, like Del Mar Park, and driving out to Del Mar Park and coming back into town really adds to the evening. And if it's foggy and windy, it's less enjoyable on the freeway than it is if it was sunny and we were close. So you'll see 1 through 9. This is 09's calendar. We started at City Park, went to Monte Young, Bayshore, Mariner, Tideland, Centennial, Anchor, Coleman, and ended at the Rock. We left off North Point, Del Mar, which now includes the Jody Giannini Family Dog Park, the Cloisters, as well as Lila Kaiser. Those are all north end. If you look at your map, those are north end town parks and facilities and open areas. And it's going to depend on what the commission puts its priorities on. If you want to go see one site and one site only, that's fine. If you want to get as many as possible, that's fine as well. We can start anytime you'd like. We ended up not doing the tour. So we want to have if it's a date that everyone, if it's a regular meeting, generally everyone knows that to free that time up for the commission. So leaving it at that, I'm just looking for where do you want to start, how many parks you want to see, and then we can move in from there.
guys don't have an opinion on what part. I mean, I don't know, do we have an opinion on an order, but just what parks do we want to go visit?
I would say we definitely need to see Del Mar Park and Cloisters and Lila Kaiser. Those three parks are really heavily used, and I see those as really important to check for maintenance.
I would agree with that, and also maybe eliminate a couple of the ones that we probably all see every day, like the City Park, the Morrill Rock area.
Yeah, I agree.
That way we could, you know.
Yeah.
Yep, sounds good. Anyone else have an opinion?
No, that sounds good, because I know when we visit all the parks that could run pretty late.
Takes a long time. Yeah. Yeah, I think focusing on the ones we feel are most important.
And maybe we could scratch Coleman Park, Morrill Rock area, and City Park. And I'm sure we're going to have a lot to see on the Embarcadero with all the improvements of the T Pier or the Harbor Patrol there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, for example, there's still that old skate park there at. No, it's not there.
Sorry, not there. There. Maybe you need a tour.
She's going to do a tour on her own the next time she's down.
If I may, you're going to get a lot of Coleman, Target Rock area.
We were going to cross.
Master planning it. If we could get down the Embarcadero to show you some of the improvements.
Yes.
And then transport out to the ones in north, Kaiser, and the ones in the bottom here, A, B, C, and D, that certainly would be something feasible and doable.
Do we need North Point?
My question before you go back there, pardon me, would be Monte Young and Bayshore. If you want to go up the hill and over there. If you want to do Embarcadero, then North Morrill Bay, then that's something that's probably doable in a decent amount of time.
Yeah, I don't think we need. I mean, my opinion is Monte Young and Bayshore are fine to pass this time.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's not. Mm-hmm. We just got to focus on. We'd like, sure, rather spend time at the ones we want to really visit than see everything, especially for those of us
like
that have
great
seen
idea.
It. Do we need to see the North Point area as well? I mean, what is there any big developments there? Because I'd say scratch that unless we.
Huge area. We added a little bit of a fence from the existing fence along the highway, and that helps designate our area for a couple of reasons. We have folks who want to go to the dog beach that unleash prior to getting there, and really they should be leashing them until they get out of North Point. It's helped us with the signs, the music festival, and the art in the park outside of our designated area. So I was kidding about the huge developments, but we do have a new recycling bin there. It's a split unit that has trash on one side and recycling on the other. And this is a very big issue, and I'm very serious now with council, that we put in recycling as many places as we can.
Yep.
And we have really been diligent and aggressive in getting those done, to the point where we don't want to burden our staff. So we're taking a very logical approach to this. And that one, that new split, will be dumped by Morrill Bay Garbage. So other than that, nothing huge.
Okay, does anybody need to see North Point? We've already got all the information on that one. Excellent. Okay, we'll scratch North Point.
So,
thank you.
So
no, that was good.
So when you go out there, you can notice some of the things that we've been doing. And we do want to do a few more things to delineate some of the areas to keep people off of the bluff.
That was the last one.
Whatever our July meeting is. July good for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Our July meeting?
So which is the second Tuesday of... No. Or the, I'm sorry, the last Tuesday of the month.
It's the fourth Tuesday.
Fourth Tuesday
of the month.
So can we do it then? At our next meeting?
In June? Certainly.
Or July or June?
Not June.
June's cold. How about July?
July works.
Okay.
So you want to meet you, so in July, so we'll have a regular, our next meeting will be a regular meeting in June here, and then in July we'll prepare, and I'll bring you back a follow-up on unfinished business on this particular tour, and I'll give you the map again, and I'll give you the layout on how we're going to go, just so you have it at that point, so when you come back you're ready to go with it. Okay. So thank you.
Okay, so I think we don't have to make a motion on D4. So we can move on to declaration of future agenda items. Does anyone have agenda items you'd like to put forth?
Pardon me. I think I would like to see a motion that's going to reschedule this July meeting to a parks tour.
Oh.
And where it's going to start.
So
there are members of the public who may want to go. There are council folks who may want to go as well. So be letting me know if you all want to meet at the community center.
Do you have the keys to the trolley, Joe?
We can probably get the keys, but I don't have a driver's license.
No.
So we'll try to arrange that with Janine Burlingame, if we can get a trolley or at least a bus, something. But we will get transportation.
Is it July 26th?
Thank you.
So can I entertain a motion?
Motion would be to schedule the annual parks tour as our recreation and parks meeting for the July 26th meeting.
27th. Okay.
To begin at 5:30 we want to meet at the community center. And we'll meet at the community center.
And it's open to everybody? All the community?
Open to all council members? And
it's a public meeting.
Yeah.
So any of the public that want to join?
We generally open the meeting up, and we have, I think we are obligated for public hearing, public comment. Generally, we haven't had any. And then we'll get on the vehicle, okay. Usually the trolley, and I'll be with you, and I'll bring our maintenance superintendent as well, so we'll have some real insight on what he's doing with his staff and the projects that he's been involved with.
Great.
Okay. Can I get a second?
I second that motion.
So, do you want to agendize something for an upcoming meeting, whether it's six months, when you were talking about the ban on smoking topic?
Well,
we had
talked about putting that back on the agenda, and we were going to review the progress that's been made with San Luis Obispo's rec and parks.
So is the question maybe that, Mr. Woods, do you have that? I think that was an item from a prior meeting I think you do have them lined up, or we'll line them up to attend one of our upcoming meetings to give us a perspective. I think it was going to be after, at least it was in effect for 6 months, right?
Yeah, we talked about a review after about 6 months, and I think they just passed another ordinance that eliminates smoking everywhere.
Public.
I think it's everywhere in public over in San Luis. You can't smoke anywhere in town.
So this might be like November?
Unless you're in your car with the window up. So I think that's, I'm not too sure, but worth looking, following up on. Would you want a person from county health, like the advocates before?
I think we talked about having someone from the city. One of the angles of this was,
you know, here I am picking up the frisbee and there's a cigarette butts right there. It's just, come on. I mean, there's one example right there. Not good.
So it sounds like that's going to be on the agenda as our first step.
Right.
Does that mean
We won't bring it on.
Or not the agenda, I'm sorry.
It's on our future agenda items, so we're going to track this, and I will talk with the director. There's a new director coming on board, and I think I'll be able to meet that person June the 5th, which is a slow CAPRA meeting. So that's the first Friday of the month. So I'll have an idea about, hey, how can we do this, and would they be willing to come out here and represent, or send us a memo that I can present to you, either way, whatever's more convenient for them. I don't want to, you know, allocate their resources before they have a chance to speak. So I would offer them the opportunity to come out and some kind of follow up on that ordinance and how it's working for them in their parks. Is that not in the overall streets, but just in the parks is what we're looking for?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any other items?
No.
Okay. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None.
Organizing committee,
it's like really great what they're doing.
Yeah, they got fun.